Well, praise God. Everybody say, I'm not a spectator. I'm a participator. You see, your attitude and your faith is what controls what happens in church. Did you know that? No matter how much I pray, no matter how much Miss Laura sings songs or whatever goes on, it's your faith that activates the Spirit of God moving, because God gets excited when He sees faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that it's faith that pleases God. So when you come to church, we need to have our expectors turned on. We need to have our faith out there. We need to be in a position where we're just believing God's going to speak to us. He's going to show us something. He's going to talk to us. He's going to heal us. He's going to bless our babies. He's going to mend our bodies. He's going to make our crazy go away. Hello? Has anybody got any crazy that needs to go away? I saw that. I saw somebody point to their husband. My wife would have if she'd have been standing here. So anyway, I want you to get your Bibles out. And I want you to go, if you would, to the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 1. And I'm starting a new series. I don't know how long it'll take. The last series, that took 6 months. So maybe I'm only going to have two messages this whole year. That'd be nice. I don't know what exactly is going to happen in the future. I don't know. Matter of fact, I don't know anything that's going to happen in the future, I guess, other than Jesus is coming back someday. But I don't know when to tell you that is exactly. Could be tomorrow. Could be 1,000 years from now. I don't know. But I just know that I feel in my spirit, then on the inside of me, that there's a change coming to the body of Christ. And I really believe what is happening, is going to happen, is just simply that Christians are going to become more active in their Christianity. It's no longer are we going to take a passive role, but an active role. And so as Christians begin to take more of an active role in other people's lives, you have to have knowledge. You have to have information. You can't just tell somebody, oh, you just need to go to church. That's good. That's something. But you need to be able, as a Christian, to help somebody else along their walk in life. Now, the Christian term we always use is discipleship. Jesus had disciples. They were learners. A disciple simply means a learner. But you're a discipler if you're a father talking to your son and you say, yeah, don't do that. And he says, well, why? Well, I did it like that one time and it won't work. Hello? You just taught your son something. He's a disciple. You're the teacher. He's a disciple. We don't call it that. We just call it a father being a son. But technically, in a Christian perspective, that's what you did. You discipled him. So then take it a little bit further. If you're, you know, sitting at the coffee shop and you're talking and you say to one of the people, one of your friends there, and he said, yeah, I was thinking about, you know, planting this way, or, you know, what do you think? And he said, well, I did plant that one time and, you know, I didn't get a very good stand. It didn't work very good. Okay, you're teaching. You're being a discipler. But what we need to do is we need to carry it to the next place in our lives, to where what happens is that you begin to actually help somebody in their walk with Jesus, so that they come to know Jesus, so they know the blessing that you know. And if right now in your life you're saying, oh, man, I don't know nothing. I mean, my life is a wreck. My life is just messed up. I want to tell you something. All of us have been at that place. Listen to me. I started out, I had never read the Bible in my life. I knew Bible stories, but I had never read the Bible. And I'll never forget when I first started reading my Bible, after I got saved, and I was trying to figure everything out, and I started reading my Bible. I remember just running to my wife saying, "I didn't know it said this. Why didn't anybody ever tell me it said this?" And the next morning, we had a two-story house, and the bedrooms were upstairs, and the living rooms were downstairs. And I'd be in the living room. I just was waiting for her at the stairs. She'd come down the stairs and say, "Look at this. I didn't know it said this." Now, 30 years later, I'm still meeting her every morning saying, "I didn't know. I didn't know it said this." I mean, I love it now, because used to she would say, "Really? I didn't know. What? I didn't ever see that. I didn't know it said that." And now she says, "Really? You didn't know that?" I love it. So she gets me every now and then. My wife is the Proverbs reader. She loves to read Proverbs, and she is a Proverb reader and memorizer. And so if I find something in Proverbs that I didn't know it said, I said, "Did you show us that?" "Yeah, I knew that." She got that. She's got Proverbs down. She's a Proverb person. But anyway, virtuous woman. So we've got to come to the place. Well, this is what this message is all about. I'm coming out with a new book. I call it a book. It's not really a book. I don't know how many pages you had to have in something before it's considered a book, but I'm calling it a book. And it's going to be something small. We're going to print it in like a 5x7, so it's something that you can take with you. You can put in your Bible or in your notebook or in your purse or in your car and just have one sitting there. That kind of gives you, basically, I'm going to take this message for however long it takes. It's already in the book. And then you can take it and you have a quick reference to help somebody. You can give them the book, but the book also becomes a syllabus for you or a manual for you to quick reference what you need to help them with and to give people scriptures. Okay? And so it's going to take, we've got it all edited. And we're about to get it put into book format, and then we'll get it to the printers and do all that. So it's going to take a little while, a few more weeks. And then I want to have them here, and they're free. And I want you to get as many of them out as you possibly can and go find all the crazy people in the world and give them one. Okay? Because I want to see lives changed. I'm not about making money. I want to see lives changed. I like money. Let me back that statement up a little bit. I'm not going to turn money down. But I don't want to sell books to try to make money. I want to sell books. I want to give books. I want to put them in your hands as tools to help people, because I want to populate heaven. That's my goal, to populate heaven and to help people. So anyway, I want to show you, because the title of this message and the title of the book is Take the Bull by the Horns. Okay? Take the Bull by the Horns. Everybody say, "Take the Bull by the Horns." And I'm basing it off of steer wrestling. And so I wanted to show you some few clips here, and we'll see what happens here. First, I want to show you what not to do in steer wrestling. So watch, y'all watch these. Maybe you had to cut the lights down up here. This is steer wrestling gone wrong. I give him an A for effort. He's hanging on. He's going to get it. Oh, he's going to stay. Oh, all right. Yeah, I think there's another one here. Yeah. Whoa. No, didn't work. Uh-oh. Too long. Foot hung in the stirrup. No, just waller on you for a while. Okay. Now hold it right there, Jake. Now, does some of you kind of feel like that in life? Like you're wrestling with a situation, you're wrestling with a problem, and you're kind of like that. You just kind of got it by the horns, but it didn't cooperate, and you're just wrestling around. Can I see if your hands? Anybody feel like that? Okay. I think let's go one more. I don't remember what the other one is there. Okay, so this is how I don't want you. Okay, now let's go to the next video. So I want to show y'all what not to do. And then we'll see here. Professionals doing it. Probably not. No telling what the music is. This is the way it's done. Boom, bam. 3.6. Boom. You see, now, see, there's quite a bit of difference there, isn't there? So I think you get my point here, right? Those guys, the pros there, make it look so easy. And I'm telling you, the other cowboys that were up there, that was actually at a Cheyenne rodeo, they, you know, are probably no slouches, but there's a big difference between you're a professional steer wrestler and you're just do it on weekend or something. You know what I mean? Well, the reason I want to show you these two things is because I'm telling you, living your life, you can live your life either like the first set of cowboys. You just are out there wrestling the steer. Your life is controlling you. You're not controlling your life. Your life every morning when you wake up is just things are just at the door. They're just, you know, problems and obstacles, and then they get you caught up in your emotions, and then you're living out by your emotions, and then you're mad or you're sad or you're whatever in life would be, and your life is controlling you. You're not controlling your life. And that's the first group of cowboys who are sitting there, because they're trying to control the steer, but in actuality, the steer is controlling them. Y'all with me? And the second group of cowboys there that are professionals, they've learned, they've got it down, they've got it to a science, they know exactly what's happening with the speed of the horse and what they're doing and how they're going to slide off it. Yeah, they have some mess ups in life, but 90% of the time, boy, they catch their steer, they roll him around, and they throw him and it looks so easy. I want you all to get to a place in life. I'm not saying your life is not going to have any problems, but when problems arise, it doesn't send you into a tizzy. Doesn't send you off out into, you know, rockets shooting out of your head and you're just going freaking out because you don't know what to do. If you can learn 10 things I want to teach you, 10 simple things that I want to teach you, then you'll be able to take the bull by the horns in life. You'll be able to grab hold of your emotions and grab hold of your feelings, grab hold of the conflict that's coming towards you, and then you will begin to control it. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. And once you get these 10 principles working and operating in your life, then you will have the 10 principles that you need to teach somebody else. I'm putting it all into just 10. Just 10. 10 simple things. I could just tell y'all right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and y'all would say, oh, yeah. Oh, okay, I knew that. But I'm going to try to put it in such a way over these next few weeks that you can grab hold of it. You can grab the bull by the horns. You can take the bull by the horns and you can get back in control of your life. Amen? Okay. So, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, John one day is standing out by the river. He sees Jesus and he tells everybody, he announces to everybody, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus had one purpose to come to earth. He had one reason to come to earth, and that was to deal with the issue of sin that separated us, God's creation, from fellowship with our Heavenly Father. That was his whole purpose. His whole mission in life was to come into there and to come down to earth and to teach and to make disciples and to die on the cross so that we could have fellowship with God. Do you hear me? That we could have fellowship and a relationship with God. That you could pray and your prayers would be heard in heaven and God would move on your behalf because this issue, this obstacle that was between you and God was sin. Hello? And John stood up and said, there he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You have to come into an understanding of this. Now go to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. You have to come to understand this, folks. You have to get this down in your heart. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. God in the Old Testament, He listed everything that man was to do. And we foolishly sometimes say, oh yeah, well, God gave us 10 commandments. Listen to me. God didn't give us just 10 commandments. Go read your Old Testament. There's over 3,000 covenants and ordinances that you were supposed to keep in order to be holy before God. 3,000. And Frank, if you were walking in the front door and you stepped on a dead bug that you didn't notice, it was on the ground, you became ceremonially unclean and you could not enter into church. It was that technical. A dead bug. Couldn't touch it. Okay? God was not giving man the law for man to try to keep it. He was trying to get man to understand there's no way you could be holy. The standard is perfection. And not any of us are ever going to be perfect. Why we humans get on these treadmills of works and think that we can get on the treadmill of doing things by works and we're going to please God. Oh, well, I went all day and didn't cuss. Praise God, I must be better than I was yesterday. Let me tell you what, you've done a bunch of other offensive things besides what came out of your mouth. You just didn't realize it. Simply the pride of thinking that we're going to help God along and we're going to perfect ourselves, that's pride in itself right there, which negates your perfection. Are y'all with me? None of us are going to do everything perfect. We're never going to be perfect. That's why Jesus had to come down here. He had to come down here and die on the cross and shed His blood so that He could come into our lives and that He could give us then grace by faith. And then we could have access to the blood of Jesus, which was wash our sins away, that we could walk up to the throne of God and say, hello, Daddy, and not get fried. Can you imagine? I sometimes think we just get all religious minded and we don't really put it in perspective. Can you imagine if I had a room with like 100 flamethrowers all pointed in this room? And if you that day knew that you hadn't done anything wrong, you could walk in the room and the flamethrowers would not come on and smoke you. How many of you would want to walk in the room? Hello? Because see, what we want to do as humans is just say, well, you know, at least I'm not as bad as they are. And then we think we're justified because God's going to kill them off from the worst to the least, and you're going to be in the last crowd, so you know, I'm better off than they are. But the bottom line is you'll never enter God's presence without being perfect. And the only way you can be perfect is by the blood of Jesus. And until you come into a revelation of this, you're not going to understand how to take your life into control and get the bull by the horns, because you're always going to be dealing with this issue that Jesus has already dealt with, which has caused your sin issue. It says here in the 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is Himself the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also for the whole world. That word propitiation, if you go study it out, it's a Greek word. It means the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, when they made the Ark of the Covenant, it was a box. It was about roughly 3 foot deep and 3 foot wide and 5 foot long. And in it was the Ten Commandments, the golden pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that had budded. That was what was in it. All things representing the sin of man. And on top of the mercy seat was a lid, and that lid had a crown around it, very ornamental, decorative crown, scalloped crown that went all the way around the top of the mercy seat. And that's where the high priest went in once a year, and he poured the blood out on top of the mercy seat. And John is saying, Jesus is our mercy seat. He's the one who shed His blood. And when God looked at the mercy seat, He saw the sacrifice of a perfect lamb in the Old Testament. But now when He looks in the New Testament, He sees the perfect blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world. He sees that on top of the mercy seat. So therefore, when He looks at your sins, He sees Jesus. If you're saved. If you're looking to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith, Y'all with me?
I just think y'all aren't getting it. Y'all just looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all want us to go back and watch the video, watch some more steer wrestling? What'd y'all do in church today? Oh, we watched steer wrestling.
So you have to understand something. Jesus made a way where there was no way. Jesus paid the price for you. He died for your sins. He cleared up that issue, and then he went to heaven. And he said, I'm going to send the power of the Holy Spirit down here on this earth, and the Holy Spirit will be here with you, and he'll help you and lead you and guide you. But now you got to do something. I made a way so that you could go walk in, according to Hebrews 10, boldly into the throne room of God and say, hey, Daddy, I made a way for you to do it. But I'm in heaven. I'm sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And now you have to go talk to Daddy. I opened the door. Now you got to go do it. You have to take charge. This world is in a place right now where no one wants to take personal responsibility for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. Oh, it was his fault. Oh, it was their fault. It was that administration's fault. It was them over there. They did it. Nobody wants to take personal responsibility. Listen to me. You're not, unless you take personal responsibility for the mess your life is in right now, you're never going to be able to grab the bull by the horns and go forward. If you feel like, if you're still, and don't get mad at me, please. I'm trying to help you. But if you still are saying out of your mouth, well, if my daddy wouldn't have done this, or if my mama wouldn't have done that, or if this wouldn't have happened to me, or if that wouldn't have happened to me, well, then I wouldn't be in the situation now. You are in the situation now. You got to deal with it. You see, we want to say, listen, I know that may have got you where you're at, and I'm sorry for it, but you're where you're at. Now you got to deal with it. You got to get the bull by the horns. You got to take control of your life. You got to get on there and say, Jesus, you need to teach me what I need to do so I can get control of my life so I can go on. If you're not willing to take control of your life right now and take the responsibility for it, well, then I want to tell you something. Nobody can help you. I mean, I'm trying to be nice this morning. I don't want to, you know, hurt your feelings, but it doesn't do me any good to stroke your hair and pat you and say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that happened. Because I want to tell you something. That's feelings, that's emotion, and that isn't going to last. You can't live on feelings and emotions. Feelings and emotions are going to wane, and they're going to, you know. You've got to take the bull by the horns. You've got to realize Jesus made a way for you. He's paid the price for you. He's done everything that's needed to do to get you to the place where you can have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now you can learn and you can apply it to your life. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, he says, He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother and abides in the light, there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I don't want us to be blind. I want us to be able to see what's going on. And then begin to be able to take responsibility for that. Now let me go to one more story here, and then I'm going to start wrapping this thing up. Go to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. And let's go down to verse 11, Luke 19:11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country and received for himself a kingdom to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered unto them 10 minas. And he said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, and they sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much everyone had gained by trading. The first one came, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful of a little, have authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you be over 5 cities. And then another one came, and he said, master, here is your mina, which I've kept and put away in a handkerchief, for I feared that you, because you were an austere man, and you collect what you did not deposit and reap where you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, and collecting where I did not deposit and reaping where I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Then he said to him who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. For I say unto you that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Okay, you notice that in this story, the king or the nobleman gave every person the same amount of money and then told them to go do business with it. I want you to know that because of what Jesus has done, he's made a way for everybody. And everybody has it equal. Jesus didn't bless this person or that person and say, well, I want to give them a little more. He made it equal for everybody. It's equal access to the kingdom of God for all of us. No one, because I'm a pastor. Oh, well, Robert, he's a preacher. He gets better access. I don't get the VIP pass to heaven. We all have VIP passes to heaven. I don't get a VIP pass to go to the throne of God, and you didn't. Are you following me? It's equal to all of us, have been given. It's been laid out before you. What you do with it is going to create different results in your life. If you use it very little, you're going to have very little. If you use it a lot, you're going to have a lot. Well, oh, so-and-so, he's just more blessed than we are. No. So-and-so may have just worked the principles of God more than you did. Do y'all not want to hear this morning? I mean, y'all are looking at me like I don't have good sense. Y'all just hungry, ready to go eat dinner on the grounds, just call it quits for today? Had too much of it. There you go. Out of the mouth of babes, it has been said. That is perfect. Out of the mouth of babes, it has been spoken. All right, then. Let's take his advice. I'm telling you, church, listen to me. Think about what I said. I'm closing. I'm taking. I'm hungry, too. I'm telling you. You got to get this. You got to understand this before I can even go on with the word. Before I can even start teaching, you got to understand it. Okay? You've been given. Every one of us have equal access. And how you use it is going to make a difference to you. How much you depend on Jesus is going to make the difference to you. How much you grow, how much you learn, how much you is going to make a difference in your life. And so-and-so didn't just get blessed. He just may understand more or be going and using it more than you do. Amen? Okay, so stand to your feet. Everybody say this with me. Say, I'm going to take the bull by the horns. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm going to take the bull by the horns. Look at the person beside you and say, take the bull by the horns. Amen. Well, I tell you what, let me go ahead and let me have a few of my prayer people come down here up front. If you are here today and you wanted prayer over a different matter than than we prayed for a while ago, then we want to have a few people here to pray with you, stand in agreement. And I ask you, if you didn't know today was dinner on the grounds, it is, and we're going to have fellowship with one another and enjoy ourselves. And, I tell you, church, you need friends in life. I encourage you to make a new friend today and to be a friend to somebody today, because we need friends in life. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're here today and everything I've said to you just went right over the top of your head and you thought it was sweet and you thought it was nice, but you're not sure that if you died today you're going to go to heaven, listen, you shouldn't live like that. The Bible says if you'd confess with your mouth and you'd believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then He'll come into your life and He'll save you. And He'll forgive you of all your sins. And He'll wash your sins away and He'll cleanse you. And you can be white as snow and you can live for Him. So I want to ask you today, if you're here or if you're watching by video or listening by audio and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, well, right now, stop what you're doing and just call out to Him. Ask Him to come into your life. If you call upon the name of Jesus, He said you'll never be ashamed and He'll be there for you. If you're in here today in this building and you don't know Jesus, here, I've got beautiful prayer people up here that'll pray with you, that will teach you, will show you, will learn with you, will pray with you, help you today. And so just be bold enough. Listen to me. Don't leave that door miserable. Come up here and talk to one of these people. They'll tell you everything you need to know about Jesus. So grab that person's hand beside you. And let's pray. Father, I just declare that as we've gathered here in this house today, as we have been here to just worship You and to praise You, and we believe You and thank You for signs and wonders with people being touched and healings and baby dedications and word going out. But Lord, I also just pray today that everybody in here knows Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that no one leaves this building today without knowing You. And that anyone listening today would just call out upon the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank You for it. I thank You for blessing us, strengthening us, and Lord, that we're going to do great and mighty things for You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Stay in fellowship today, and we're here to pray with you if you need it.